Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Not slothful in this business. In this business. In this business. In this business. We are not slothful. In this business, we are not slothful. In this particular business, we are not slothful. We are not slothful. We are not slothful. We are not slothful. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for simple hearts. Thank you for hearts willing to go to great lengths for you. Thank you for great days ahead of us. Thank you for greater days to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Have your seats. Thank you, everybody. Have your seats. Yeah. Quite a lot to do today. Because today is a long day. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. We are still on, can the Bible be wrong? This is part what, please? 8, right? Part 9, 8, 9. Paracletus, need to repent. Okay. Your word is a light to my feet, a lamp to my path. It's quite instructive. Say the word of God is light to my feet, lamp to my path. That's figurative. Okay. See 1 Peter 1 verse 9 now. Okay, receiving. Okay, wait for you. Where is Eniolua? Is what? Okay, sorry, don't worry, I'm just... okay, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Amen? So that is clear that everybody said the same thing. Everybody said what will come. Everybody spoke about that Jesus. Everybody spoke about the grace that will come unto us. Okay, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them. Which was in them. So that you are already seeing that element of faith there, that you must see Jesus as the intention of prophecy, as the reason why they all spoke. For prophecy came not in the old times by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake, being moved by the Holy Ghost. That's 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. So, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified before and the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom was it revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So, like we said, the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, it contains a search. There is a search. They did all that for us. It contains a search. There was a search for the Spirit, for that salvation plan of God. Yeah. God will use the mouth of the prophets. He will use their mouths to plan out everything, to plan out the salvation which we receive today. So, of course, this, like we said, this is part 8 and 9. Okay, so we have said a lot of things before. So please, it looks like the Old Testament prophet that they are disadvantaged at their time, that they spoke about things that they never enjoyed. But well, you have a God that you actually have a God that we also relate with you based on the light you have around, based on the amount of light you have around. That is why in the days of Noah, faith or unbelief would be to receive the utterance of Noah. If you receive the words of Noah, that will be accorded to you as faith. If you reject, that will be accorded as unbelief. So, in the days of Noah, they may not necessarily have to really know the full details that Jesus will come, die for our sin, everything. But the light around is just enough for God to justify man. The light around, as spoken by the prophet, is always enough. And that is how documentation actually is. And that is how men receive. So funny enough, it could have been you too in those ages. It could have been you. It could have been you that will have to see bread and but believe in the Savior. It could have been you that will have to see ark and use that one to believe in the Savior. You see the ark, but you don't trust in the ark. You trust in the power of God to save. That is why the man that built the ark, he built the ark because he trusted in Jesus. That's why he built the ark. So the ark is just like his own outward show of what he has believed. Okay, so this is my question. Because their utterances are not perfect, of course, is that a call for us to discredit their efforts? No. Because their utterances are not perfect, that is not a call to discredit their efforts. Because their utterances are not perfect, that is not a call to discredit their efforts. Their effort is called searching. That's what I'm saying, searching. That's searching. That because people went from imperfect things to bring out a perfect Messiah, although imperfect utterances, but you don't discard their efforts. That is why you must study their efforts to know who you are today. That's all you have to know God. All you have to know God is those documentation by imperfect men. So also, there is also this temptation that some people now do to absorb all the styles, all the diverse manners, sundry times, to which they spoke. No, you are wiser than that. You are smarter than that. You are not to absorb all their styles, that their styles, their patterns. No, your own is to figure out what they are trying to say, the intention, what exists before time, what exists before they spoke, what exists before them. For instance, if you are focusing on what exists before Noah, you will not focus on the ark. If you are focusing on what exists before Abel, you will not focus on physical offering. Light exists before Abel. Let there be light, and there was light. Before Moses built a tabernacle, we have plenty other elements in Genesis that spoke about salvation. So that's what I'm saying, that you are not to absorb all their styles. Imagine if you want to absorb every style in the Bible, then the church will be very confused. You will dress to church like an high priest. Somebody will dress to church like somebody will bring an animal, drag to church. Somebody will say in one corner there, say, well, my own is is an ark. Everybody must enter this ark if you want to be saved. Somebody will stay in that in another corner, will say, okay, no, may the Lord is a man of war. You pick a sword and dagger, and you dress like a soldier. So that's the confusion that will come in when you try to absorb all their styles. So that is what happens when some people now go to a place of the Bible and say, we want to pick tithe alone as their doctrine. You are not serious. Why not pick everything? Why not pick the human sacrifices, pick everything too? When somebody comes and say, okay, you want to take the fact that women are not permitted to minister on the pulpit, that is the path that you picked. Why not pick everything? Why not pick everything? In fact, the book of Judges even discredits that. A couple of times, a woman was even their judge in Israel. Praise God. So, you cannot pick their styles. You only focus on the words, utterance, the words. Say the words. Okay, so because these men of the old, their words that actually produce the Pauline revelation, Ephesians 3, is their words that produces that Pauline revelation. The Pauline revelation that we are studying today, that we love so much, that we hug so much, where is the source? Where is the origin? The words of the prophets. Since Ephesians 3, verse 1, it said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, for I have read as I wrote in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That's now New Testament, verse 6, that in the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches. Let's read verse 9 together, once to go. What is in fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by, amen, amen, who created all things by Jesus Christ, by the power of the spoken word, words about Christ. See Colossians 1:25. Of course, all things there is talking about things as touching our redemption. Created, all made possible by Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:25. So Paul got the revelation. Everything is just an explanation of what has been written. Explanation, rightly dividing the word of truth. Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the ministry which has been hid from ages. You see that? That's it. It is hidden in the Bible, in the utterances of the prophet. Okay, it's not saying it's hidden in a rock somewhere. You don't travel to search for God. You study the scripture to know what God is saying. You don't travel to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to Judea. You don't have to go to Saudi Arabia. You don't have to go to any Palestine. No, it's hid in the scriptures. It's concealed in their integration. Are you with me? It's concealed in the integration of the prophets. If you have been in this church, you should know for a while, you should know the meaning of integration. It's concealed in the integration of the prophets, in the words of God that is gratified, that is maybe in the attempts to make the word of God clearer, they will add this, add that to them. Like I explained in Kaduna yesterday, they will add just so, because they want to teach faith in Christ, and the man had to, Moses had to use the Ten Commandments to teach faith in Christ so that you have to use the Ten Commandments to teach the same faith in Christ, just like a documentation of faith. Faith. So he described faith like doing. That's what actually happened there. See 27, to whom God will make known. So he said now it's made manifest to the saints. That's by the preaching of the apostles, by the epistles. That's Colossians 1:26. So it was hid from ages, from generations. I'm saying that hidden there is hidden in the scripture, in the utterances of the prophets. 27, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, where? In Christ Jesus. Romans 16. Same thing. Romans 16:25. Now to him, well done. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret from since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise the glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So you can see that according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So Paul explained the scriptures. That's what he was doing. He explained the scripture. Paul never had a special, peculiar revelation from God. God did not sit him down somewhere teaching him Bible. No, Paul simply read the scripture in the light of Christ. That's the biased mind with which you will read the scripture, in the light of Christ, in the light of redemption. That's the biased mind with which you read the Bible, in the light of Christ, in the light of Christ. From the beginning, it has been about Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was what, and the Word was God. That is John rewriting Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 for you. When creation, when Genesis chapter 1 looks like it's talking about the creation of the material world, John said, actually, Moses is not trying to document the creation story for you. Moses is trying to document the story of man's redemption, the new creation. That's what Moses is documenting. So the Bible is not a book that you go to for history. It's not a book. Sorry, I know I'm fast. You know all this, so you write down as much as you can. So the Bible is not a book. RNT, come on, start up. Sorry, come on, sum up. So the Bible is not a book you go to look for stories, to look for history, to look for. Okay, I want to know the perfect age of the world. You are going to the Bible. You may find yourself surprise that is not the purpose of the Bible. So you don't argue with scientists with the Bible that, okay, scientists say the world is 1 million years old, Bible is saying 600 years old, just saying that, say, come, okay? Bible never tell, God, you don't tell me to go and authenticate the age of the earth by scripture, okay? Scripture is about man's redemption. So a lot of things are said there which are not literal. And like we have studied in this church, what is written in the scripture is real than reality. The things in Christ, they are real than reality. So that's why, like you can read the book of Noah the book of Genesis, and he said there that and all flesh died. Imagine, and that all flesh died, and you'd be surprised that it's not for you to what do you pick from there? It's not to now say clearly that okay, that means we all came from Noah. You don't go into what you are not sent to do. What is the story in that place? Noah preached salvation, men rejected salvation, and there was judgment. Simple. So that's what is to preach in that place. There is judgment. So you don't go to, don't substantiate anything outside that God's salvation plan. Don't do that from the scripture. That is not the purpose of the scripture. I'm not saying the scripture is a lie, but the scripture is real, and his own reality is more than reality. That's the point. It's about man's redemption. Don't forget that. It's not a book, it's not a book of facts about creation of the world. It's a book of facts about redemption. About redemption. Somebody say, okay, Joshua says the sun should move back by 10 degrees. Don't say, actually, the sun did not actually move back. The sun moved forward. That means the Bible is strong. You are tired. At least it's written that the thing moved. So if then the thoughts, like for instance, like because documentation improved by with time. Like before, people may think that it's actually the sun that is going from east to west, right? So he told Joshua told the sun to stand still, right? But today, science now knows that, okay, sun is actually stationary. It's actually the earth that is rotating. So has that made what Joshua said a lie? No. It's just, they will only document with as much as they know. Are you with me? So they are not, but why it's not important is that what they are trying to pass across is not that occurrence, okay? It's not that miracle. It's not the science of which one stops, which orbit, how many degrees. No. It also tell you that, oh, okay, the man that carries the utterance of God, their words carries power, and the power does things. So, praise God. Thank you. So, Luke 24, 25. Then he said unto them, O fruitful slow of fire, to believe all that the prophet have spoken. See that? Spoken. Leave their drama. All they have spoken. You have your own drama today. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. You cast out devils. You get men filled with the Holy Spirit. That is your own drama today. Your own drama is not to going to pick the exploit of Elijah. Your own drama is not going to pick the exploit of somebody you don't know. Your own drama is Christ. 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 Good things in redemption. The things of the Spirit. Healing the sick. That's your own drama. Amen. Raising the dead. That's your own drama. Getting men filled. That's your own drama. Okay, so ought not Christ to have suffered this thing and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hebrews 11, verse 10. Go back to Hebrews 11. So that means, that is why when you look at how the prophets spoke about, how the epistles spoke about the prophets, they didn't focus on their physical things, physical properties, material things. They didn't do that at all. They simply focus on their Christology. They focus on their utterance about Christ. They focus on this, on seeing the unseen. They didn't focus on the birth of Isaac. They focus on the reception of Christ in their hearts. You see Hebrews 11 verse 10. For he looked for a city whose foundations, which had foundations, whose make builder and maker is God. So that was his searching. He was looking for that city, which had that foundation, which builder and maker is God. That was his searching. See back to verse 8, or let me read from verse 8. For by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place when he should have after received for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he went. For by faith he sojourned, that's a journey of faith, in the land of promise, as in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, let's read together again if you are there. Yes. So that means he's not looking for a physical city, right? He's looking for a spiritual city. He's not looking for a physical city. He's looking for a spiritual city. He's looking for that house of God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who has promised. See that? She judged him faithful who has promised. Now, once you use the word promise, it has changed from the birth of Isaac. Because look at the next verse. Therefore sprang there of one who as good as dead in as many of the stars of the sky innumerable in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So what are those promises? Is it Isaac or salvation? See salvation. So it's talking about they didn't see the full intent of salvation. But having seen them afar off, okay, and were persuaded of them. I mean, they saw the death of Christ. They saw his burial. He will die for our sin. He will be raised again. And embrace them. See that? They embrace. And what is the best thing they can do? They confess. Say they confess. That is a perfect work of faith. When you what you believe, you say. And that's what saves us to today. Follow me mentally and right. Do your best. So they embrace and they confess. Where do you embrace? That's faith. You embrace in your heart, okay? Where do you confess? With your mouth. Are you with me? When you see the word embrace, that is like they trusted. They receive it. Then they confessed. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they were persuaded. That means they understood. They embraced. They confessed. Will God deny such? Never. God will never deny such. See from verse 14 now. For they that say such things declare plainly. They declare plainly. You could never ask Abraham when he was on that time, what is God's promise to you? And he would be saying his Isaac. No, they knew that no, God is gonna do something. The Lord himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. That's so serious. That's beyond that is even far after the birth of Isaac. To tell you that if Isaac is a promise, then after Isaac is already born, he would not still say he's still looking for something. Are you with me? If Abraham is saying that all God promised him is Isaac, then after Isaac is born, then that could have been the end of the story of Abraham, right? But even after Isaac is born, he still took Isaac again. Said, Isaac, let's go and search for something. Okay? So on that month, he just says, see, this is actually what I'm looking for, which is years after. Praise God. Same way, if Canaan was a rest, then David will not again speak again in Psalms that there remained a rest for the people of God. That means a rest is spoken after a rest because the former rest is not the rest. Please don't write that down before you confuse yourself. If you can write it very well. So I said a rest is spoken after the rest because the initial rest was never the rest. Amen. That means Canaan was not the rest, okay? That means after they got to Canaan, they still say, okay, we are still going somewhere. So are we not yet there? So it's not Canaan. They say, no, it's not Canaan. The rest is in Christ. That is the rest of God for man. So verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. They have been mindful of the earthly, of the earthly. They will not be able to embrace the spiritual. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. See that? They desire a better country. Okay, let me slow down. Well, I have lots to do today. Come on. So therefore, they desire a better country, that is what? An heavenly. So they are not mindful of their earthly circumstances, so they embrace the spiritual, right? They are not mindful of the earthly circumstances, so they embrace the spiritual. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God. Why? For he has prepared for them a city. That is in Christ. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that has received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So you could see that word in two places now. Now, in the book of Hebrews 11, you will see at times they will say they have received the promise. At times they will say they have not received the promises. So both of them is talking about the same promise in Christ. When they say they have received the promises, they are the same. When they say they have received, they are simply talking about they have embraced it already. They have embraced it. It's already theirs. But that they have not received the promises means that what they have embraced has not happened. Are you with me? They have received the promise means they have embraced it. They have believed. They have not received the promises means what they believed has not happened. Thank you. The difference about us right now is that what we believe has happened. What they believe has not happened. That's why it's written at times that they did not receive the promises. But to us, what we believe, it has happened. It has happened. What we believe has happened. So he that has received the promise offered up his only begotten son. He that has received Christ. So, and that is why that's the offering up of Isaac. James call it faith. See James 1. Is it James 1 or James 2? James 2. The offering of Isaac, it was called faith. James 2. So, was not Abraham, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? That's James 2, verse 21. Yeah. So that is so James called the offering of Isaac like a work of faith. Yes, but to me, I would just call it more of like an over-sabi of faith. That's over-sabi of faith. That's the point. Because that is like an over-integration. If you have killed Isaac, you will never hear of him. That means that is perversion gone wrong. We will never have heard of him. Human sacrifice is never God. What God will do is what God promise is God that will do. That's why it's called a promise, a parangelia, a self-commitment. So now let's not pick up from there right now. That's all we have said. And so can we excuse all their perversions? No, that's the point. Can we excuse all their perversions? No. We can't. If you excuse all their perversion, you will pick a wrong character of God. We can't excuse all their perversion. That means all their things that they did wrong, took wrong. You cannot excuse over that. You cannot excuse all that. Because they actually allowed to know. You know, Abraham said himself, he said, the Lord himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. He said it already. So, but just over Sabi. Go to Exodus 15, verse 3 now. Let's see what we have been studying for a while about the wars of God, the wars that God fights. Exodus 15, verse 3 again. So you see, well done. Okay, Exodus 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of, yeah, he's a man of war. The only question is that which type of war does God fight? Where does he fight? He's a man of war, but which type of war? Where does he fight? Where does God fight? So, see 17, Exodus 17, verse 14. Exodus 17, 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek under heaven. And I will utterly put out from Amalek, the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Anyway, we've read this last time. And what's the next verse? What is in verse 15? Why? Yes. From generation to. So that means, okay, from what you could see there are two. From the Old Testament, we saw two types of war that God makes. So in that place, he said, God will make war with Amalek from generation to generation. So we saw the two types of wars that God makes. Okay, two types. So one is once and forever. The other one is continually. That means, you see what happened there? Amalek was defeated that day. Then he said, continually, I will keep defeating Amalek. I will now make war. I will wage war with them from generation to generation. That means, okay, there is a first war, one thing that is done once. Then there is a continual stuff that will be done based on what has been done once. There is the once, and there is what will be done based on what has been done once. I mean, there is the continual generation to generation. Those are two. See, let me start explaining this. Why? So, the joker about your God is that he does not distance himself from the man in rebellion. He does not distance himself from the man in sin, from his man. No. He does not distance himself from the man in sin. He keeps relating. He keeps relating his will. There will be no perversion if there is no intention. So it is when the intention is communicated to people who are not serious, that is when the intention will be integrated. And things goes bad and perversion enters. So there can be no intention. There can be no perversion. There's no intention. So why they got it wrong is because it's just because God will keep relating his will. Please write this down. God gave us the good things of life to take care of our physicals. And God gave us himself to take care of our mind. God gave us the good things of life, an abundant heart, to take care of man's physicals, but God gave us himself to take care of our minds. Okay? God gave us the good things of life to take care of our physicals, but he gave us himself to take care of our minds. See, Jeremiah 1, verse 9. He gave us himself to take care of our minds. But our physicals, he gave us the good things of heart. Hold on, I will explain. Jeremiah 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. My words in your mouth. That's serious. My words in your mouth. It's my words, but in your mouth. So that means you must do your best to speak just what I told you. But anyway, see verse 10. See, I have set this day over the nation, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Amen, amen. So this is what the word of God still does to us today. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to then to build and to plant. That's why we have correction, then we have edification. We have correction, then we have edification. Correction, reproof, exhortation, then we have edification, comfort, and exhortation. So yeah, everything is there. So you root out, you plant. So this is what God still does to us today. Don't forget, God is a spirit, unseen. God is a spirit, God is unseen. So his greatest relationship will be with the unseen part of man. Get that clearly. Before you are thinking of God, the greatest relationship of God, okay, will be with the unseen part of man. Because since God is a spirit, so he will relate more with that invisible part of man, with the unseen part of man. Don't expect to see God one day that, okay, the day I've grown up, later when I've grown up spiritually, God will now be come and be serving tea for me in my room. God will now come and he will be helping me to, what else can God do for you? He can be making your ear. God say, oh, wow, my daughter, come. Eunice, wow. Yeah, you know you preach to the right. Let me be able to do your... Funny enough, hope you know some of you actually have some of those fantasies before. That one day I will grow up so much spiritually and, ha. Am I right? Anybody here? Oh, peace. Awesome. I trust. Yes, I will so much grow up and one day, at least, I think, what is my own? Which one do I should think about then? Just some serious fantasy based on misguided scripture. I mean, misguided experiences from serious people. But God's greatest relationship will be with the unseen part of man. Unseen. Back to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8, verse 4. Please, anytime you hear of spirit and soul, don't be confused. Don't try and do all those some shadish dichotomy. Spirit and soul simply talks about the same thing. Talks about, spirit and soul simply talks about the unseen part of man. Unseen part of man. Spirit as the home of God, the soul as the thinking faculty of man, which is both of them, they are unseen. Okay? So, see 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. So, those are the wars of God now. That is the war, the battle that God fights. That is where God fights. That is God's area of generation. That's God's PPA. Yeah. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 10 now. That's why I'm quoting. Open your Bible. Verse 4. Are you there now? Okay, so the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen, amen. So that is the war of God. God fights in the mind of people. He fights in the mind of people, in the mind. See, when Jesus was talking to those two guys coming from the road of Emmaus, he said, didn't our heart burn within us when he spoke the word of God to us? Didn't our heart burn within us? Didn't our heart burn? It didn't burn. That's what Rick Jenner calls the preaching anointing, the power of conviction. So God wants to stir up a fire. Where does God stir up his fire? In the heart of man. God's fire does not consume man's body. That fire you saw in Sodom and Gomorrah us to burn the heart of men. To burn is to make them repent. To make them, to turn them from darkness to light. That is where God's fire is supposed to burn. That's where, that's the work of God's fire. That's the war of God. That's where he fights. All those fire of Leviticus, of animals, when he said, okay, when they said, okay, you offer, an animal to God as a sweet-smelling savour, that talks about the fire of devotion. That is what Romans 12 now calls, not slothful in what? Business, fervent in the spirit. Not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. That is where the fire burns. That fire of the animals, okay? Animal sacrifices. That is where, okay, wow, sweet-smelling savour, acceptable to God. Yes, that's simply the enrititozi, fervent. Fervent in the heart. Amen, amen? So that is what is, that is a sweet-smelling savour. That is why you see as a church, we celebrate fervent people. We don't celebrate you for money. We celebrate you for fervency. Fervent people. Because that is what is acceptable to God. Please, in addition to knowledge, you must be zealous. You must be zealous. You must be zealous. You must show yourself, like you must be there. You must not be the one that drags your feet to church when you are late. You must not be the one that shows that does not show interest in its service, in service, in respect for all leaders. It is no. You are fervent. You are in the forefront. You are there. That's the fire of God. The fire that burns, that destroys Sodom and Gomorrah physically, us to consume their hearts and to turn them from darkness to light. Are you with me? Okay, so again, don't forget, I said God fights two wars, okay? There is a war that is once and forever. That is at the cross, okay? At the cross, that is the once and forever war. That is the war, I'm still explaining Exodus 17. He said we contend with Amalek from generation to generation, then once, then from generation to generation. So the one that he did once is what Christ did at the cross. And the one from generation to generation is in the preaching of the gospel. So what Jesus did once, okay, will now consume men from generation to generation. That is the war of God. That is the battle of God. Casting down imaginations. By the death of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. That is the war of God. Ephesians 6. So don't forget, since God is unseen, if God is a physical ruler, okay, then no problem if God is doing a physical battle. But God is unseen, he's spiritual. God is unseen to the physical eye. So he will deal more with the unseen part of man. And where is the unseen part of man? The spirit of man and the mind of man. So at the cross, when you believe the message of the cross, what happens to your spirit? Your spirit is saved, right? You are born again, right? Then, in the progressive teaching of God's word, what is happening to your mind? Your mind is being renewed, right? There is a wrestling. That's the wrestling of God. That's the wrestling of God. Just like in Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached, they said they were pricked in their hearts. Yes, that is God's dagger. Amen. You know if it's David, hope you know what David would do. David would take sword, shook the thing. But how does God shook his own? By the words, amen? Praise God. I said they were pricked in their hearts. That's God daggering their hearts. Amen, amen. By the word of God. Amen, amen. By love. Amen. That's God. Okay. See Ephesians 6 verse 10. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at that verse 12. That is personification. Please. That is personification. How do you wrestle with Satan? You wrestle with Satan by wrestling with the man in non-belief. So what you are seeing here is personification. It's using Satan to describe the strife in the heart of men against the gospel. Please write that down clearly. It's using Satan to describe the strife in the heart of men against the gospel. Well done. He's using Satan, right, to describe the strife of men. Their strife. How do I put it again? The strife in the hearts, right? of men against the gospel. That is why he's using principalities, powers there. So that is not, it's not saying, because at the end of the day, when you now read down, you didn't see anything really to, you didn't see anything to say to Satan. Every other tools you are given there are things you say to men, right? Are you with me? Okay, let's read it down. Let's see. And I say, 13, whereof, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand thereof. No, imagine if David heard that, stand thereof, what will he do? Everything is set. Artillery, stand. And funny enough, he has this in his heart, though, but in his action, what will he do? Stand thereof. So, see verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins guided about with what? With what? With, does truth destroy the flesh? Huh? Does truth destroy the flesh? But will truth destroy the lies of Satan? So that's the word of God. You are seeing those words of God right now. And having a breastplate of righteousness. Oh, does righteousness kill any man in at war? Huh? Will U.S. be going to war and they will say they are having righteousness? No. So what will breastplate is like a defense, right? Praise God. That means a defense of your in Christ reality. Righteousness. I am who God says I am. Righteousness, right standing with God as a breastplate. That means, imagine, as awkward right now, as you go out and you preach the gospel, say, you that you are wearing kulapa, why are you telling me that you have the Holy Ghost? Are you telling me that you can preach the gospel? So what do you pull up? Your breastplate of righteousness. I am who God says I am. Or like our dear, maybe tell you that, are you sure you are born again? You are wearing trousers. What do you do immediately? You pull up your breastplate. My dear, tell him, I am who God says I am. So that's a defense. But if it is Old Testament, or you say, breastplate, defense. Well, everybody, let's form a war. Right? Let's form a war. Let's form a siege. What they call all those things? Defense. But to you, this is your own defense. So David is actually using the physical to teach them the spiritual. But before he's done, a lot are dead. Sad. Next. And your feet should, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet. That means, wow. I'm coming to this in offices. Well, this, what should dictate your movements? What should dictate where you go? What should dictate where you settle down? The gospel of peace. We'll get it later. No, I don't. You know, the unfortunate part for you in this church is that I will say everything that is there. It's very unfortunate. That means, what calls the shots? Eunice? Huh? You, Abby? You don't want to call the shots again. I mean, that means your feet shoot with the preparation. Feet is what makes you move, right? That means your action, where you go. What calls the first shot? So that is why in this church, we don't really do, go and walk in Lagos, then you start edifying every day. No. Sela? Next, 16, and above all. Say above all. Now, taking the shield of faith. Shield. Achilles, right? Who does this shield? I will know very well. Captain America, thank you. Give this man a shield. Yeah. Captain America. So a shield of faith. Shield of faith. With which you will quench every... I mean, as you are fearing, block it. Amen. What is your whole shield? Faith. Say faith. Hallelujah. That's the point. At times you went on evangelism, you preach for 6 hours like they do in Bangladesh almost every other day, and you come back with no souls. You are filled discouraged. What do you come back? Say, I am who God says I am. If you don't use the shield of faith, tomorrow you will not go. At times we are just so neutral. These are weapons. Weapons. You pull off faith immediately when things are trying to discourage you. You pull up faith. Immediately when your body is saying, see, this gospel is not for you. It's not your time that preaches this gospel. See your body. See how you are weak. See how you are tiny. See how you are paracletos. See how you are this. See how you are that. Immediately, what do? You pull up a what? Shield of faith. Amen. I'll be strong 90 years old still preaching the gospel. That's a shield of faith. That's weapon. It's offensive. Defensive and offensive. You must say them. It's a shield. Pull up faith as a shield. No, I mean, sir told me when we, after more than 6 months that we have started. Say, Pastor, what is happening? We have been preaching everywhere. We are only six, ten. He looked at him and said, don't worry. Keep doing your work. Don't worry. Things will improve. Keep doing your work. No compromise. Praise God. So, that's why it's normal for churches to be bad, to be more than us. It's very normal. It's proper. That's a proper thing. Amen, amen. Praise God. Because this is why we fight the real battle. Fight, people run away. But everybody that stays, they are all for God. Amen, amen. Okay, we get there. So, now see it, verse, you know, now see that every fiery darts of the wicked, 17, and take the element of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? What is the sword of the Spirit? Word of God. Say, word of God. And that's the offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, word of God. Word of God. This is just to tell David that, David, sorry. No. So that's to tell you that if you remember the book of Joshua, when a man appeared before Joshua, he was dressed, he's the captain of the host of the Lord, right? Remember those stories? Eh? Somebody say, oh, that's Jesus. Maybe that's your Jesus. Not my Jesus, amen. There was never a Jesus coming to earth before the incarnation, okay? God never stepped on the earth before until Christ came, amen? So that is just an angelic appearance that looks like. But some people actually say that Paul, when he was writing this place, he was actually looking at a soldier. It's one of the times when he was in the prison that he was actually looking at a soldier, then using the kit top of a soldier to describe. Very possible to describe your things you have in Christ. Now, let's read 18. What do we do always, guys? Verse 18, yes? What do we do again? Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, washing down to with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 19, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Christ, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. So maybe it's actually in prison then. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So you could see that all the weapons, all the tools of God, you fight them by words. I'm coming to that in my second sermon today. You fight them by words that may speak as I ought to speak. When you are sick, there's a way you ought to speak. When you are expectant, there's a way you ought to speak. When you are desirous of greatness in ministry, there's a way you ought to speak. When you are anticipating greatness in ministry, there's a way you ought to speak. When you are anticipating your expectant of your disciples to grow up in the Lord, there's a way you ought to speak. It's a speaking life, brethren. Say a speaking life. You must live by speaking. The believer lives by speaking. Once you remember that you have not spoken God's word in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that means you start speaking it. You are a believer. Amen. Once you just remember that I have not been speaking, just start speaking again. Say, I'm who the word says I am. Say, I'm a speaking believer. Say, I spoke my way to salvation. I spoke my way into spiritual growth. I speak my way into health. I speak my way into progress in the work of the ministry. So there's never a tacitum time. There's never a quiet time. You must always speak your way up. Okay. See Romans chapter 10. So God's greatest work is without effect. Write that down. The greatest work of God is without effect. Hope you know the meaning of effect. Effect is the dun, 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 right? Dun, dun, dun. That's effect. God's greatest work is without displays. That means God will be walking and everything will be quiet. Isn't that serious, right? Maybe they say, Julius Berger is walking. What will happen? You will see machineries. You will see bulldozers. You will see excavators. You will study civil here. You will see big, big things. They are walking. This Julius Berger, any road they made is eternal. And their roads are actually pretty awesome. They are very expensive. They built that, and anything they build, only them can maintain it, like a top million bridge. Say, you see Jesus Christ walking, say, big, big thing. Say, where U.S. want to make war with a country, what will you see? You see sheep, battleship, this, big stuff. Carriers, what do you call them? Yeah, fight warship carriers. No ship that can carry over more than 20 planes on it. So you can launch. What they do is that the ship will carry the planes close to the country. So from the ship, the planes will now launch, because planes will not be able to fly from the U.S. to Afghanistan. So they will now move the ship to close to the ship. The planes will now launch from there. You understand? So you see, that means they are prepared for war. You see, good, like destroyers. But the creator of heaven and earth, when he is walking, everywhere is quiet. That's why deliberately I was to model for you a church that things happen quietly. Quietly. That is your God, duo. That's your God. See Romans 10. So God's greatest work is without effect. See your salvation. Romans 10, verse 8. What saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is what salvation is called. Multifaceted wisdom. So how do you just believe that? By just believing one gospel like that, that somebody told you, at that instant, you receive the Spirit of God, you are saved, you receive righteousness, you have power to heal the sick, to raise the dead. He said, just without, all without effect. That is why it looks so easy to disdain. As we are teaching gospel right now, because we are not shouting, we are not, which we can, we just. Who are these powerless preachers? Yeah, just people, they don't know ministry. Where is the gems of the hour? As I'm preaching right now, what should Inelua be doing? One of the people I actually love to preach like before was Noel Jones. I love that man. Ah, God. Not T.J. Jakes, Noel Jones. If no Noel Jones, no T.J. Jakes would just be, you know, he's always say, yeah. God is going to do it. You may be broke, but you'll be a stockbroker. That's just it. But Noel Jones, do you know what he does? If you are carried away with those spank, 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 you will miss heaven and earth. As he's doing his own, serious Christology, serious words, serious Bible doctrine. Like, so much love him. And I pray for a long life for him. Amen. The greatest preaching is not the one that has everything. Sorry, that's just figurative to just describe that. God's words is without effect. Come to 2 Corinthians 3. It is carnality to think you must see things to believe God. That's carnality, to think that you must first see things before you can believe God. That's carnality, brethren. So what we emphasize is hearing God's word, believing God's word, speaking God's word. Hearing God's word, believing God's word, speaking God's word. Hearing God's word, believing God's word, speaking God's word. Hearing God's word, believing God's word, speaking God's word. Again, hearing God's word, believing God's word, speaking God's word. Again, hearing God's word, believing God's word, speaking God's word. That's what we emphasize. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So, see 7. For if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. But do you know that on the physical, this thing is contrary. on the physical, it is actually the mystery of condemnation that appears more glorious. Okay? It is Moses that his face is showed physically. Say, ah, Moses, wow, they followed him. Well, see, someone say, ah, but Jesus walk on water. Ah, you don't understand. Moses did not walk on water. Moses did not walk on River Jordan. Moses parted the sea. And he didn't walk alone. And he carried how many rebellious men? Millions of them. Say, follow me, let's go. Sorry, let me. I'm not saying you're Jesus. Jesus tried to take one Peter on the sea. One Peter. What almost happened to him? the guy wants to sing. One. But Moses, how many? Millions, rebels. Let's go. So, from those effects, it's easy to think that, there's more power in condemnation. You will miss God if you try that. You will miss God if you try that. So he's saying if the ministration of condemnation was actually glorious, the ministration of righteousness, what? It exceed in glory. It exceed. Hallelujah. So it's funny to see what we are doing right now, just disdain, sitting down, learning God's word, hearing God's word. This will keep you healthy for life. This will keep you healthy for life. You will receive answers that you don't know when you prayed for them. God's work is without effect. So, yeah, go back to Matthew 24. We are not permitted to share like the men of old again. No, we are not permitted. We use great plainness of speech. Great plainness of speech. Matthew 24. Some people usually confuse this scripture. Matthew 24:14. Great plainness of speech. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. This gospel of the kingdom. So people, I've heard people, God bless them, say, there's a gospel of the kingdom. That is what we must preach everywhere. The kingdom. The kingdom, you know, and to preach, by the time you must dress like kingdom. You know what I'm talking about already. The gospel of the kingdom, you know, awesome man. And that's not how it started, though. It was just once, they just went into kingdom, and it became a kingdom. Yeah. Well, but we all love him. That's the one that first taught me the indwelling of the Spirit. I'm the same man. In clear terms, so indwelling of the Spirit. But when you're not satisfied with Christology, and that is the thou shalt not commit adultery. We studied that yesterday. Okay. Where are we? So go to John 18:35. John 18:35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and their chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" 36. No, so he said, "Your own nation." Oh God. He said, "Your people, your nation." See, he said, "Your nation has delivered you to me." What is your answer? Next verse. Let's read. "My kingdom is not." What's the meaning of that? He just denied the Jews. If you explain this for them, they will not just tone you. They will, the way they hug that they are Jesus. They hug the Jesus has not come. You know, they're very funny nation. Some of them they believe that Jesus has not come. Some of them believe, and yes, same people they are telling tourists to come and see where he died, where he was buried. So they will collect money of tourists, but they don't believe he has come. That is a terrible. That is a very terrible in-law. That is terrible. So Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom is of this world, then would my servants fight physically that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here." It's not from here. John 3. His kingdom is not here. It's not from here. It's not physical. We are in Christ. Therefore, the political office belongs to us. Please, your kingdom is not of here. John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. It's a, except a man be born again, born from above, born from above, born again, born from above, he cannot see, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God does not mean an empire of wealth. If it means an empire of physical wealth, like Solomon tried to predict for us, then Dubai should have been the kingdom of God. Amen? Once you just end and say, wow, in fact, you almost say itself that, God is here. If you're not careful, when you enter such a place, you say, this is God, y'all. He said, but Lord, this is Jesus, this is God. I entered one toilet in an hotel. Before God and man, I feel like sleeping inside. I feel like, I didn't know if I stand here and said to you, I think I took a selfie inside the toilet. God. Sorry, I was already calling God, right? I say, what? Toilet? Seriously? Yeah. When you enter some, yeah, and the prince of the power of the air. Some ladies now be doing some very funny things. No. That cannot be the kingdom of God. I'm trying to confess the word of my society. I don't believe that. Like is it the airport at Amsterdam? See, a plane is landing like this. As a plane is going this way, and that plane is going under, like, the same way you have overhead bridge, right, for car. You have overhead bridge for planes. A plane is going up, and now it's going under. It's going, so, you know, wrong way is crossing wrong way. You understand? Overlapping. Say, ha. Like, you now get back to Murita, you want to be, you just be crossing your car. When an airport is more than air to express. I'm not joking, I'm not exaggerating. You have to carry cab. In between airline to airline, just like between Arik and Aero. You understand? You take a like 10 minute train or a straight rail track. Just save your 5 years salary and travel and go and see God for truth. Amen, amen. I hope I've not taken Jesus away from you for what I've said. You just want to say, No, entering an airport and there is no officer. Like, no police, nobody. But everything is well meant. You can't go to the wrong place. Just going, you guys marking on the road, go to there, snap your passport here. Okay, the thing will scan you. Okay, you are not carrying drugs, you are not doing this. You enter. It's only one man you meet at the final immigration entrance. Just, okay, stamp your visa. I mean, your passport or whatever you call it. So you see all those, behold the kingdom of God. And that's what we now try to bring to the church. Say, I've been begging your prayer for a long time. I say, why are we naked? Why are we wearing miniskirt? Because we like miniskirt. Let me just cover this thing. Wow. No, before we look at the kingdom of God, when we have that kingdom, say, wow, behold the kingdom of God. When you step on the pulpit, come. I remember there was a time that RCG built a new altar, and the altar is like, no redeemed person here. It's around those 2010 or so. It's like a spiral. Just you climb, and you now have a golden chair on it that nobody sits. Say, wow, this is God. This is God. That is, you are only mirroring Solomon. It's Solomon in all his glory. It's no more valuable than a new creation. It's no more valuable than a new creation. So you can't spend that. So, it was, and every, I think, then every Holy Ghost service, etc., we have to change the altar, change the OPOP. You don't know, I mean, after every, they change the old designs again. Then, wow, now God has come in afresh again. So, see James 2, verse 5. God's kingdom cometh not by effect, not by ocular evidence. That should be Luke 17. Yeah. So, you see James 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? And heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him. That is the physically poor in this world. He said God has chosen them out rich in faith. So Solomon was trying to communicate that richness of the goodness of God. And what was he doing? He was gathering all the gold, silver, including the women. That's perversion. So, the kingdom of God is within. It's within. It's not a land. God gave no land to anybody. The kingdom of God is within. The new creation, within. All the border wars about borders, was not God's making. You are fighting for this territory, fighting for that territory. This one is mine. This one, all those border wars, they are not God's making. The weapons that we use to fight in God's kingdom, they are not physical. They are words. They are words. By your words, that shall be saved. By thy words, you shall be condemned. It's words. Go into all the word and preach the gospel to every creation. That's words. Either believers and evangelists saved. Words. 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 You shall be witnesses of me. Words. From Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Words. There's one more before we wrap this part off. So, God's kingdom has never been physical. The weapons of God are words of persuasion. God does not take over kingdoms by physical battles. No. God does not sit in any physical Jerusalem. No. Where Christ wants to sit is the heart of man. Nowhere else. That is where he wants to sit, the heart of man. Remember when they want to make him a physical king? He escaped. Right? Yeah, he escaped. He wants to sit in the heart of man, not in any temple, not in any place. The heart of man. Remember, it was initially, it's not the plan of God for them to have kings. It was their perversion too. Somebody say, yes, but we too. Bible says we are kings and priests. Say we are kings and priests. So you now go to a receipt of priority. I need a kingly priesthood. And if I would design it, and it would make it. Kingly priesthood. I need I'll put a chain, bangles. A kingly priesthood. Well, your own king serves. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Your own priest, you serve. Kingdom of kings and priests, you serve. In the physical world, kings rule, but here, kings serve. Kings serve. That's what kings do. Is God not our king? Didn't he serve us? Yeah. Say in God's kingdom. Come on, speak out. Say in God's kingdom. Kings serve. Thank you. John 13. John 13, verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was sat down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord. And yeah, you say well, for so am I. For so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Please. Faith washing service is a very terrible integration. What you should pick is the intention. What Jesus was communicating, feet washing was a custom of the Jews. Then, so Jesus used an already existing custom to teach them service one to another. Amen? As I'm teaching you God's word like this, that is serving you. As after the service, we come, you understand what is taught in church. As we get you filled with the Holy Spirit, that is serving you. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yeah, that is service. That is what kings do here. Yeah. Kings don't do, he said, not as lords over God's heritage, but as what? Examples to the flock. Say here, say right here. Right now, kings serve. So verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater. See verse 16. Again, let me read that 15 again. For if I have given you an example, see an example. That's what he's saying. He's not saying keep washing people's feet. When they don't have water at home to wash their feet, what's that? Come on. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Are you with me? Anyway, let me leave that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So, also, God's kingdom grows with patience. It grows with patience. That's why I keep using the word influence. That's your job. We influence our world by the gospel of Christ. Influence. Our kingdom grows by patience. Patience. Influence. Patience. Patience. Influence. Patience. Influence. Patience. Influence. See Luke 13, 18. God's kingdom grows with patience. If you are called to go and serve God in the gospel in the place, in the territory, you don't go there and after 3 months, you're only 10, and you're saying, oh God, when are we going to become like Arsenal Stadium? Oh, come on. God's work grows with patience. See Luke 18, right? Verse 18. Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and unto what will I resemble it? 19, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, cast it into his garden, it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Well, some people actually say that mustard seed, that it takes very long time to grow. I think I've heard it somewhere before. And when you plant that thing, you think it has died, that it will not do anything. But later, it will come out slowly, gradually, until it becomes a mighty tree. That's why in this place, we always tell you, give faith time to work. You must learn to stay in faith. Give faith time to work. The kingdom of God grows with patience. Lasting result comes with patience. You see, verse 20, and again I said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like a leaven, okay? Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the old was leavened. That is influence. That means that's yeast, right? You put yeast inside flour. Is it inside flour? Inside what? I don't know. Ladies, help me. Inside flour. Okay, you put yeast inside flour. What will happen to the old flour later? Everything will. Let's practicalize this in atoms so we can teach them God's word with. That is called, well, I know the chemistry, that should be fermentation, right? Is that fermentation? Until everything be fermented. So that is influence. Say gradual influence. That's why we have some words in this place that we say from one to another. We light up each other. As I'm playing my part, I ensure you play your part. That's like what you call a chain reaction in chemistry. Remember? No chain reaction? That is when you break down what? Is it uranium or radium? Well done. That's just ready. When you bombard an a proton with what? You've forgotten your radioactivity. Ojo doesn't know that one. Really? Yeah. So say gradual influence. So that's the point. It must be progressive, but it must. No, keep going. Must keep going. So again, verse 35. So when they rejected Jesus, See what Jesus told them. Luke 13, 35. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. See that? Say, you will not see me. You are rejecting me. So don't worry. Say, until you said, blessed is he that cometh. Until you receive what I have delivered to you, you will not enter that kingdom of God. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So, in short, the earthly is not God's kingdom. That is not what we fight for. I cannot make you a politician. I cannot make you the best. No. But we come here, look at God's word. So Jesus said, I am not sent to put you into the government house. That's your own profession, to put you into any political position. No. So please, that's the die-hard determination of the believer must not to get to the peak of any worldly career. That cannot be. The die-hard determination of a believer cannot be to get to a peak of any earthly career. That peak is not a creation of God. It's a creation of men. So you are only trying to get to the obsession of another. Please write down all I am saying. All the words I used to describe that. I said the die-hard. Say, ah. So you come to church I must be the fastest selling cosmetic producer in the whole world. I don't have from scriptures the power, anointing, grace, word backing for you to do that. Because the kingdom that I am to preach is not of this world. What we saw in scripture is that they that use this word as not abusing it for the fashion of this world. Fashion does not only mean cosmetic, I mean fashion. That means the fashion, the makeup. Sorry, that's still cosmetic. The design, euphoria, the euphoria of this world passes away. Everything passes away. It's transient. Matthew 5. So sad that is what we celebrate in some churches today. We have some chairs in front from professors, some chairs for kings, some chairs for the saints of God will now be. Funny enough, it is the saints that will prepare that chair. The kings are not born again, but they own the front seat, right? But the saints, those who are born again, they will, okay, Baba is coming. At times, they now say, let's give the man of God the microphone. You know why I call him man of God? Buhari now comes and greets. He says, our father in the Lord is there. let's give him. Tara Perry, that one. Awesome person. We are forgiving the man. I have not forgotten. I'm joking. Okay. So Matthew 5. So again, don't forget, why were they able to integrate the word of God? Because there is a word of God. Why are they able to, the prophets, okay? Why are they able to get it wrong? Because there is an intention. God kept speaking. God will not separate, distance himself from his man any day, anyhow. So, but again, it's up to us right now to focus on God's plan, God's will, God's word in their utterances. You must focus on God's word, God's will in their utterances. Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That is like the war of God. That is not for man. Eye for eye is okay, but it's not towards man. What you don't pity is unbelief. What you don't pity is sin. What you don't pity is sin and death, is Satan, not man. So, but I say unto you that you shall not resist evil, but whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the left also. Simply saying, don't retaliate. So that is a pictorial representation of don't retaliate. So it's not saying you should go somewhere for them to kill you. He's saying don't retaliate. And if you now go to verse 43, he said, you have heard that it has been said, 42 says, give to him that asketh you, and from him that wouldn't borrow, don't turn away. 43 says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is where? In heaven, in the earthly kingdom, these people, you take them to court. But in the kingdom of God, he said you should forgive, for he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Please, he is not teaching how to relate in your place of work. He's teaching how to relate as a child of God. He's talking about God's kingdom, God's character. This is how we relate in God's kingdom. If you salute your brethren only, what have you more than others? The publicans do the same. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, retaliation is the kingdom of the flesh. Retaliation. Retaliation. I'm doing this because of what you did. You did this, I will do that to you. That's the kingdom of the flesh. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is mercy, forgiveness. Forgiveness. And see, Jesus did some things intentionally to show that God is different from what, from the actions of Moses. That's why Jesus did some things deliberately. Just to show you that what Moses did, these actions are not actions of God. His words are the words of God. The actions are from him. Just like Moses turned water to blood, Jesus turned water to what? Can you see that? Water to blood, to death. This one, water to wine, celebration. Just to tell you that this is, my God is not in those actions. So back to Acts 1. That's the last scripture for now. Acts 1 verse 4. Acts 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, by Emmanuel keyboard, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And when they had therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? After all this sermon, they are still thinking that God's kingdom is physical. They are still thinking that God's kingdom is a physical. So Peter is expecting when they will become the governor of Judea. When will you restore this kingdom to Israel? Brother Shimes, are you with me? Are you with me? You are coming late. Don't come late. Huh? Yes. Don't come late. Yes, you have business to attend to, but don't come late. God's kingdom is spiritual. Uh-huh. Thank you. So, where am I? Verse what? Verse 6. When therefore they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? And verse 7, the answer of Jesus is the first phrase. It is not for you. Full stop. That is the answer of Jesus. It is not for you. The physical kingdom is not for you. I learned that from Pastor Nyinga too. It's not for you. Just like the same way in John chapter 9, when they asked Jesus, this man who did sin, is it his father or his mother that he was born blind? The answer of Jesus, the first answer is that neither. It's not because of sin. Simple. Full stop. After that, he now said, but so that the work of God can be manifest, I will heal him. So it's not saying I made him sick so that I can heal him. He simply said, no, it's not because his father sinned or because he sinned. That's not why he's sick. But right now, what will happen? The work of God will be manifest in him. It's just the way the Bible is constructed, the way the tense is, okay? Here also, he's saying, the answer is just, it is not for you. When will you make us kingdom millionaires? I don't have such power. When will you make us captains of industry? That is not why you are in church. When will you make us the best producing country in Africa, in the world? Well, God is saying, that is not the token of my power on Nigeria. The token of my power on any land will not be physical, it will be spiritual. I'm sorry, that's the Bible. That's what is there. People have achieved great things without the Spirit. All of you today, maybe that, either in your hand or in your house, you have computers. It's made by a man that said there is no God. Hallelujah. And his computers do not fail because he's saying there is no God. Or else, if someone fails now, I have to rush in to get my hard copy. Praise God. So the simple answer is that it is not for you. But what is for you? Let's read the latter part, yes. To know the times and the seasons which God has put in his own power, what will happen to you? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So he's now saying, for you to know what God is in control of, for you to know the kingdom that is of God, you will receive the Holy Ghost. Then you'll be my witnesses. They wanted a physical kingdom. Because right in that time, Herod was actually in charge. And Herod was not even an Israelite. It looks like he was an Edomite. So somebody that is a non-Israel is on their kingly throne. So they are now saying, when will you restore this kingdom back to us? Are you with me? You know, normally, that throne of David, an Edomite was on it, which is one of the nations that they dare not even step into Israel in the days of David. But such a man is now their king due to the Caesar's influence and the Roman Empire influence. So they are now saying, when will you give us back our throne? And he said, sir, that is never your throne. That is never God's throne. If they have remembered that God never even gave them a king initially, it would not have been easier. So, glory to God. So the kingdom that God has put in our power is spiritual. Okay, it's spiritual. Every war you fight with sword is not God's war. Every battle that results in death is not God's battle. God's battle happens in the heart of man. And let me say this lastly before we pray and we continue. Even if you use the supernatural to kill a man, that is still not God's battle. If you declare, die, and he dies, you still serve Satan, not God. You only serve God when your actions agree with the character of God. You serve God when your actions what? Agrees with the character of God. When do you serve God? When your actions agree with the character of God. Not when you do music, what Moses and magicians could do. You said your own power can kill people. Babalawo too, in their shrine, they can kill people. So what's the difference? What's the difference? We have the ministry of righteousness. I value what I have. Say, I value what I have. Say, I value the kingdom of God. So all I've said right now is not to say that you relax in your earthly pursuits. No, like I taught you a while ago, you give what belongs to Caesar, and you give what belongs to God. What belongs to Caesar? Yeah, your earthly profession, you do it. You do well there, right? You go to school, you do what you ought to do. But what belongs to God? Your heart. Amen. Say my heart. Your heart, your devotion, your pursuits, the time to learn, you make yourself available. Time to study, you make yourself available. Time to preach, make yourself available. Time to do the things of God, you make yourself available. That's to give your heart to God. day and night, what do you think about? You think on God's word. You seek excellence in God's word. You seek excellence in on God's path. And that is what I am here as a pastor to teach you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I stay consistent with the pattern of God, with the path of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost over that. Pray in the Holy Ghost over that. I'm contented with my Christology. My kingdom is spiritual. My kingdom is spiritual. My kingdom is spiritual. My kingdom is spiritual. Choir, prepare your songs, please. Thank you. My kingdom is spiritual. Still have a long way to go today. My kingdom is spiritual. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. My kingdom is spiritual. I heal the sick. That's my kingdom. I raise the dead. That's my kingdom. I get men saved. That's my kingdom. I learn gospel. That's my kingdom. That's my kingdom. That is the kingdom that will last, brethren. That one will last, okay? Well, every last thing that you are doing, that one will not last. Even marriage will not last, too. It doesn't. Marriage, hope you know, marriage is not it forever. It's not. We are reading Matthew chapter 22. Saying in the world to come, they never marry, nor are given to marriage. But this kingdom lasts. Our kingdom lasts. Anybody who gets saved is saved forever. We see him forever in God's kingdom. Our kingdom lasts. Our kingdom lasts. This is our kingdom. It lasts. Our kingdom lasts. Our kingdom lasts. Pray, 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 pray. Okay, let's do it on our feet then. Let's pray. Let's pray. Pray standing. Thank you. Let's pray. Just pray. My kingdom is my kingdom. Get men saved. Get men filled. That's my kingdom. That's my kingdom. That's my kingdom. Come on. That's my kingdom. That's my kingdom. My kingdom. There is my kingdom. This is my kingdom. There is my kingdom. Think spiritual. Why God became a man is my kingdom. Hope remember that Jesus did not come to create any physical, he didn't leave any physical pathway behind, right? The people who are teaching success power in the name of a church, they don't know what they are doing to Christianity. They don't know. Maybe before God, they will know. They will know. God's kingdom is about spiritual realities. People, encourage your people to go and learn about business in business school. Go to school, have good certificates. Don't come. Where to learn business in school? Me too. I did electrical electronics. I learned it in school, not in church. So why do you want to come to church to not learn how to make money? Go and read economics. Or whatever. When you come to church, you come to learn of God. You come to learn of the workings of the Spirit in you. Come to learn of the realities of your salvation. And that's what we train you for. That's what we train you by. That is what we train you in. You become a better believer. A functional child of God. Not a dysfunctional one. That's what we train you for in church. That's what we train you for in church. Pray, pray. You become functional. A functional child of God. A functional child of God. Doing God's will. All about you. It's not about the physical. It's not about, oh, how I look. I'm a model. I'm a this. That's not all about you. In church, we teach your identity. And we teach you to go out and replicate the same. We teach you to value you are in Christ more than your physicals. You give what belongs to Caesar, but you give God your heart. You give God your heart. You give God your heart. You do honest work, but you also know that you are a minister of the gospel. That's your call. That's your call. That comes first. That comes first. Okay, Okay, can you just pray for your neighbor? Pray for somebody beside you on, in their lives. And choir, you can come to the front and let's continue service. Choir, come on.